And it is Thursday, December the 6th, 2012. Time again for Afternoon News with Amos, the talk show of record of our African-American community. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. All right. It is December. It is cool. It is almost Christmas time. And that's when you think of how am I going to pay this? How am I going to pay this gas bill? How am I going to pay this electric bill? And this year, oh my goodness, I got the gas bill and the water bill together. Well, you all have concerns. The folks from Citizens Energy are in the house. Joel Gallagher and Randy Rollins, customer service people, El Supremo. And then Dan Considine, you know, he's here as well, just to get him out of the office. So the lines are open. Come on now. The citizens get, you got a problem, you got a concern. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon's name is. While the folks are warming up, because they're going to call. A couple of things in this particular time of year. One, the moratorium took effect Monday. What does that mean in English? Because I think people always get confused about, oh, that means I can just run up any kind of bill I want to in gas and electric because they can't shut me off.
Well, not exactly. What the moratorium does is it covers people that have qualified for the State Energy Assistance Program, known as commonly known as the EAP. Right. If you qualify for assistance, you cannot be disconnected between December 1st and March 15th. Right. Now, if you haven't qualified for state energy assistance, you could still be disconnected for for non-payment. Of course, we work very hard not to do that. So this is a time, if you're having difficulty paying your gas bill, to apply for energy assistance through Community Action of Greater Indianapolis or your local Community Action Agency if you're outside Marion County. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you can call Citizens at 924-3311 if you're getting behind on your bill. We have lots of ways we can work with customers, flexible payment arrangements, that sort of thing. And we can direct people to assistance. We have some assistance dollars ourselves, through our Warm Heart, Warm Home Foundation. The other really important message right this time of year is safety. We want people to be safe while they're heating their home. First of all, one message is, you know, that has been on a lot of people's minds lately, given the incident we saw down in Richmond Hill, is just the safety of natural gas. Now, not getting into Richmond Hill because that's under investigation, but if you smell gas in your home or near your home, the first thing you do is evacuate. Get away from your home. Go next door. Don't stop to use your cell phone. Don't stop to turn the lights on and off. If you smell gas,
get out.
Get out.
Get out.
Go next door. Go to a safe place. Call 911 or call Citizens Gas at 924-3311. So that's the first message.
Is there let's say the customer smells gas and they get the heck out of the house. They go down the block and then they start calling 911. They call you. If you come out and you all don't smell gas or it's okay, there's no penalty for that customer to call? Because sometimes people think, well, maybe if I'm wrong and I call 911, you know, I'll get my hand slapped for, making a false report.
That's a good question. Absolutely not. There's no charge. We'll come out, 24 hours a day we're on call to respond to a customer smelling gas. So that's vitally important. Just evacuate. And again, don't stop to do anything. Don't use your cell phone.
Because turning that light switch on could start a spark. Even your cell phone could do something.
Yeah. Yes, it could. So best thing is to get out. The other very important safety message is be sure to have a working smoke alarm and carbon monoxide alarm on each level of your home, at least one on each level of your home. Mm-hmm. You can get a smoke alarm for $5 to $8, depending on the quality of the
alarm. Or maybe
if
you call your multi-service center, maybe stop by a fire department, firehouse, knock on the door, say, Merry Christmas. Y'all got any of those smoke detectors, extra ones? And if they do, they'll give you one.
Many of them do. And come January, and we'll have more information about this, the first two weekends of January, Citizens will be giving them out in the lobby of our customer service center at 2020 North Meridian. So that shouldn't be an issue. We should be able to get smoke alarms to people. And one last thing, besides making sure, number one, that you have a smoke alarm in your home and a CO alarm, be careful using any kind of space heaters. We see lots of people, even people with heat, that are rationing their heat and using space heaters. And other people,
you don't
with
have
no
the
heat.
Curtains on top of the space heater,
right?
You
yeah.
don't put books on top
That's
of the space
right.
heater.
That's
you
right.
don't put the chair sitting on top of the space
right.
heater.
And the other two things about space heaters, besides something actually catching fire in your home, most space heaters people are using are electric, and never plug an electric space heater into an extension cord. It can overload the cord. It can blow up. The cord can, you know, catch yeah. fire and blow up. So be very careful using any kind of space heater.
So when you use a space heater, put it in the doggone wall.
Yeah, put it in the wall. And, you know, you need to be careful with that as well, because a lot of the older homes, they have old wiring, and just need to be very careful with any kind of space heater.
One other thing. Don't we still have the law here in Indianapolis that if you live in an apartment, not a rental house, but if you live in an apartment, it is up to the landlord to make sure there's working smoke detectors in the apartment. Is that still the rules of the game?
I believe it is. But even if it is the landlord's responsibility, it's real easy to check your smoke alarm or your CO alarm. There's a button on the outside of the face of the alarm. Press that button. If it beeps when you press that button, that means the alarm is working. A lot of times alarms aren't working because the batteries are dead.
Okay.
So really it's the landlord's responsibility.
For an apartment, yeah.
For an apartment owner to provide that alarm, but it's really the resident's responsibility.
To keep the battery working.
Right. I mean, you're responsible for your own safety and certainly your family's safety. So check that once a month at least. Press that button.
And since you go into the store, you're buying the toys, which means you got to go buy the batteries. While you're there buying all them doggone batteries, buy an extra battery for your smoke detector. See, that's a good present you can give your smoke detector for Christmas. Give it a battery. Let's start with the folks from Citizens Energy are in the house. 239-1310, 239-1310. Let's start today with Charity. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I'm a recipient of winter assistance, and I understand the moratorium is going into effect on Monday. I had occasion to speak with a customer service representative at Citizens Energy the other day about my water bill. And I am so, this combination is so confusing to me with them merging the water and gas bill. And I asked the young lady, I said, well, if I'm not able to pay my water bill, does that mean that my utilities, gas, period? Because when she quoted me my bill, she quoted the whole bill, gas and water. And I'm like, well, no, I don't owe that. I got energy assistance. Well, she said, yeah, you can still get cut off. It just depends on which of the bills is the highest. And I'm going, well, that kind of knocks out the moratorium.
Did the customer service person know, because they're looking at a computer screen, did they know that you've been accepted by energy assistance? Did they acknowledge that?
Yes, she knew that, but she still quoted me the whole bill. But I think she said that they had not yet received it, even though it shows in the system that I qualified for it and I got assistance for gas
all right.
more than what the bill was.
All right, then, Charity, let me ask Joel Gallagher and or Randy Rollins, what's the answer to this magic question? In other words, you guys know she's in it. Why wouldn't they say, you know, why would they say you owe everything if it's seeing on the little screen, energy assistance, little button flashing?
Once the account, we merge the services.
Right.
So it is an account balance now. So the gas charges and the water and sewer charges are all together now. Mm-hmm. The energy assistance money that's coming in will apply to the whole account balance. So if the energy assistance money does not cover the entire balance, then what we're going to do or want to do is set arrangements on that balance to get that paid. Now, energy assistance, when a customer applies, there are still requirements for payments to be made monthly or to keep the balance up. So when we talk about that, the gas charges or the gas services will not be disconnected between mm-hmm. December 1st and March 15th.
Okay.
No matter with you know, if there is a.
But let's say, for the sake of the argument, Charity is getting $500 in energy assistance. wouldn't that $500 be applied to gas because energy assistance is not supposed to be applied to water?
Hello.
That was Charity giving me an amen there.
Hello.
Why would that not work?
Well,
is that the way it is supposed to work?
When the money comes in, it will apply to the account balance. So any money that comes into the account or into that account will apply over the entire account.
But wait a minute. See, I don't want to see you on C-SPAN in front of a congressional hearing where they say, Randy Rollins, why did you take this federal energy assistance money and pay it on part of a water bill? I don't want to see you in that kind of trouble, or you know, I don't want to see you on Nightline or on with MSNBC with Al Sharpton. Why wouldn't it just apply to the gas portion of it? You know, it's going to knock the overall balance down. I get that part of it, but you can't mix Caesar's money with regular money. You see my point? And you see this, I think, what the customer is trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's applied proportionately to the balance.
Oh, proportionally.
Right. So okay. if the gas portion is a percentage higher than the other services, the gas is going to get the biggest majority of that payment. But again, it's an overall account balance, so it's all services included. So mm-hmm. when the customers call, they're being quoted the entire balance, even though there may be a pending EAP payment that's coming in. We're still keeping the customer informed as to what is due.
But because they're on energy assistance, the gas moratorium holds.
That's correct, mm-hmm. on the gas.
So what do they do with the balance that's water?
On the balance for water,
that's what they got to pay.
Right. And we ask that they contact us. We do have some assistance through our Warm Heart, Warm Home right now, that if customers qualify, we can make arrangements to apply some of that money to the balance. And anything that's left over, we're more than happy and flexible on additional payment arrangements.
And Amos, we're applying these payments for all customers proportionally, mm-hmm. because the goal is to make sure there's something being paid on all of the parts of the balance. Mm-hmm. We don't want customers falling way behind on their gas bill during the summer or during the winter, by the same token, fall way behind on the water bill during the summer when usage tends to be high on those two respectively. So we want payment being applied to all of the services proportionally.
Right. All right, Charity, 239, I appreciate it. Let me go to Carolyn at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, Amos. My suggestion is they need to have some kind of informational meeting with the public so that they know what to do.
What do you mean? What kind of information would they need to give?
Like have a meeting where they are there and they tell you the procedures to go through.
Wait, which procedures? I'm a little confused. The procedure
I mean,
just to pay.
You know, how to work with the cap and how the water and gas together is working together, mm-hmm. so people don't get confused.
All right, that's a good point. Are there videos? Is there like a video thing if you go to citizensenergygroup.com that kind of walks people through some of this, Dan?
We do not have a video up. That's a good idea. We've done community meetings in the past on a variety of issues, and that's certainly something worth considering. We could certainly look into doing that in certain areas of the city where it appears there's a lot of questions, so we can certainly consider that.
That's why we have the smartest talk show audience in the whole country. Thank you, Carolyn. Great suggestion. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to know who decided to put this together. I'm a working person, and before I even got my bill, I was on a budget. I was on like $81 a month. They jumped it up $50 before they changed. So roughly, I'm paying like almost $200. And I just need to know, I know they try to say it's adjustment, but it's hard for a working person to pay that kind of money.
So wait a minute, you were on gas budget of
$81. And then they told me when I switch over, it'd be $130.
All right. How is that $131 for
gas alone?
For gas alone? Did you pay your budget bill on time every month?
All the time.
Did they say when they had to give a reason why it went up? What was the reason?
Some kind of adjustment there was. I can understand if they're going to go up $130 for the whole thing. I can understand that was $50. They're talking about I used that much gas. I couldn't use that much gas because we didn't have a bad winter.
Well, hold on. What kind of adjustment would there have been if a customer was on a budget?
$81.
$81. And this was and this started when? What?
It's right before they switched over. I called them, and I said, I want to put the gas.
How long were you on the $81 part of the
All last year. I paid it all through the summer and everything. You know, I kept paying it.
So did it start this time last year, like November, December of 2011?
Yeah, roughly. I just kept going. I've been on it for the last couple of years. But I just couldn't understand. Before they even switched over, they went up $50. Now they expect me to pay $50 plus $53 for the water. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
All right.
I worked it. I can't afford the program.
Joelle, was this something where – why would they have had that? I thought the adjustment was based upon your usage in the last year, and then an adjustment is made in budget. But I thought since the price of gas was going down, that people's budget amounts would be going down, not up.
That's correct. It is based on the customer's usage pattern and history on the account. What we can do, this sounds like maybe it's more detail. We need to look at the account. If we can get the customer's name and contact information, we'd be more than happy to take a look at it for her.
All right, so Anonymous, what I want you to do is I want you to hold on, and Chris is going to pick up the phone, and I want you to give Chris off the air your name and a number where you can be reached during the day. And the
folks from Citizens
will follow up with you, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. That'll allow me to talk to Hattie at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, I heard you distinctly when you told the gentleman there that it would not – you know, it just wouldn't be legal or whatever for them to combine. Since we, okay, I'll put it like this. I'm on energy assistance.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to call ever since last week when I got my bill, well, when I paid my bill, to separate because due to the fact that I am on energy assistance, I want to pay the water bill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm calling in at 924-3311. Never, I can get, you know, the automatic system, and they saying because due to the fact of the volume of call, I would either have to wait or call back.
Let me ask a simple question. Do you know how much energy assistance is going to pay on your monthly bill? Do you know what that amount is?
$250.
Okay, and does that cover all the gas part of the bill?
That's the gas.
No, it does cover that, right?
Yes.
So how much is your water?
The water is 62, and I figured it out with the sewer and water. It's $62.
And so you added up the sewer part, the water part, and the tax part.
Yes.
Okay. So
I know how much that the water.
Right, well, hold on. So
that's
what?
The question I wanted.
Okay. So what keeps you from writing the check for $62 to Citizens Gas?
What keeps me from it? I just want to know would that be correct?
Ah. Okay, Joelle. Would that be? Has Hattie figured this out?
It's hard to say. Probably so. Again, it's something we'd need to look at her account. If Hattie would be willing to let us give her a call, we'd be more than happy to have somebody reach out to her.
All right. So, Hattie?
And yeah. And like I said, we do have some winter assistance right now that we're giving away that maybe
right.
Hattie would qualify for.
And, right. And Amos, let me address the problem she had getting through. We are getting
inundated.
We are. Now, with each passing day, the number of calls are going down, but we are getting a lot of calls. We're getting a lot of calls because, you know, people are confused by the change. We're getting a number of calls because customers are not getting a combined bill.
Hmm.
You know, we got most of the customers when we did the combination,
right.
Most of the accounts we were able to combine.
Right.
But because of the way people set up their accounts, you know, a wife might have the gas in her name and the husband have the water in his name.
Right.
Sometimes not all the accounts have been combined. We're getting a lot of customers calling us wanting their bills combined. They want the combined bill. And we're getting calls from people, low-income people, are having difficulty. So, again, all we can tell people is to be patient. And over time, you're going to see, you know, probably this month it'll come down some. Next month it'll come down some more. And we think in the coming weeks, the response time will be much, much shorter. And I think Randy and Joelle can
absolutely.
Speak to that
and,
as
and
well.
So, yeah, so it's probably true that only Santa Claus and the White House is getting more calls than Citizens Energy Group.
Probably so.
All right. As far as that. You would. Hattie, see, that we got common ground with Hattie.
Thank you, Hattie.
All right, Hattie, hold on, and Chris will get your information, okay?
Right. All right, thank you.
Thank you. That'll allow us to talk to Dolores at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I was just listening to the panel and the discussion that's on board today. And I recall before all this took place, you having a discussion with regards how would this combining of the bills would affect the community. And just listening to Miss Hattie and the previous caller, the anonymous caller and all, and then the caller prior to her stating basically the community should have been more informed as well as advised before all of this really took place. As the gentleman on the panel stated, he said, well, perhaps that's something that we should look at now as providing a video, or perhaps, it's, as he shared as well, they've been receiving a numerous amount of phone calls. Well, I look at our seniors, only our seniors, but those that are on energy assistance, and it sounds like it's very confusing. I mean, myself, and looking at my bill that I received, and sometimes in the past, of course, oftentimes you may want to pay the water bill opposed to the gas bill, and as they were discussing earlier, breaking down bills and dividing a proportion to this amount or that amount, I would think, but I guess my question really is, too, was the system broken? I mean, what was the real reason why this we even went to this system? I mean, why did we even go to this system, as I said before?
I know, but I want Dan Considine.
Yeah, I can address that. When we went through the process of acquiring the water and wastewater utilities, before it was approved, we held approximately 60 public meetings throughout the community and to talk to people about what they wanted.
And it's fair to say in each of those meetings, you all said you all were going to do this.
Right.
This was not a secret at these meetings.
It was not. And the reasoning behind it, we also did focus groups with customers. We went, small focus groups where we could really ask questions. Most customers, because we got to design a system for all the customers. Most customers liked and do like the convenience of being able to get one statement that has their utilities on it. The other thing customers said loud and clear was they did not want estimated water bills. Under the previous system, water bills were estimated every other month. You got an actual read one month, an estimated bill the next. And what that resulted in is a lot of questions, a lot of concerns from customers about estimated billing. It resulted in bills going up and down because the estimates weren't right. So we committed to two things, really three. We committed to monthly meter reading for all services, for gas and water, to a combined bill, and to one contact number, not call one number for water and one number for gas. And we have delivered on all three of those. Now, we recognized going in that particularly some low-income customers would have some difficulty in the first few months adjusting to paying one combined bill rather than two separate bills. And we're doing all we can to work with customers to be flexible, to get them to be able to adjust to, essentially a new schedule for paying their bills. We're not the only utility that's ever done this. A lot of cities have combined utilities, a gas, water, sewer company or a gas and electric company. We looked at those utilities and for best practices. So this isn't the first time that's been done. But whenever you make a change this sweeping with, more than, about 300,000 customers, there's going to be difficulty in the beginning, matching up accounts and making sure customers can adjust to the new schedule. So, we've said from the beginning it wasn't going to be perfect, but over time we really think the vast majority of customers will adjust to this and even like it. And then there's one more benefit. This actually saves the customer base about $1 million a year because we're not mailing out we're not processing two bills, a gas bill and a water bill, and paying postage on a gas bill and a water bill. So that saves the customer base about $1 million. Now, that doesn't accrue a lot to each individual customer, but again, it's another contribution to helping keep rates down. Those benefits do accrue back to the rate payers.
Let me ask you this, and Dolores, we've spent a lot of time in the run up to the potential sale of the water company bringing this up. So this audience has been well aware of this issue. Did the television stations do any 2-minute stories about this?
I haven't seen anything.
You know, Dan,
we can go back and look. We did a tremendous amount of communications, but. Right. You know what? In a change like this, you can never communicate enough. And one of the previous callers said we should have a public meeting. You know, we got to be open to doing that. If we need to communicate more, we will. It's easy to go back and look and say, yeah, we did. We had lots of coverage in the media. We did ads in the newspaper. We did, previously had done some public meetings. We did a couple of.
We're talking 300,000 customers.
It's a lot of folks, So, one of the reasons we're here, the primary reason we're here today is to communicate with folks. So.
All right. Good points, Dolores. Let me go quickly to Stephanie. Hi there.
Hello, Amos. I'll be brief. Mm-hmm. I was calling you because I was wanting to know, has there ever been any discussion on maybe bringing another gas company or a light company here to Indianapolis? Because I had a friend that lived in Atlanta. They had 3 gas companies. And one of the reasons why I think that this combined bill and this overcharging and all this other stuff that's going on with the light company or the gas company is because they don't have any competition. If they did, I think they would back off a little bit.
Yeah, but I think Atlanta, if they have 2 or 3 gas companies, they don't serve the same geographic area. So there may be a gas company in the northern part of Atlanta. There may be one in Atlanta, in the city of Atlanta. There may be another one in another part of the suburbs. Because then you'd have gas pipelines falling all over each other. You'd down the middle of the street.
That's the issue. Utilities in this country have gas and electric have. Always been monopolies. I mean, there's no hiding
that. But isn't it true that
it's because of all the infrastructure you need to run a gas company or an electric company, there's a tremendous amount of costs. You know, when a customer pays their bill, much of that cost of that bill is to maintain all the infrastructure, maintain all those. You know, we've got 4,000 miles of natural gas pipeline. We've got 6,000 miles of water lines. We've got about 6,000 miles of sewer lines. All of that infrastructure has to be maintained. And, that's really essentially the reason why they have to be monopolies. But to substitute for competition, we have regulation. Mm-hmm. Our industry... utilities are regulated here in Indiana by the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission. So they look at us and very closely, and they set our rates and tell us what we can charge.
But isn't it true that compared to other gas utilities in major cities in the country, our bills are cheaper?
That's correct. We do a survey every year called the Snowbelt Survey, where we try to look at cities similar to us, in other words, in the similar climate to us. So they're basically in the northern half of the United States. And consistently, citizens' bills in that survey are among in the lower half of those bills. So ours are generally lower.
All right. The folks from Citizens Energy, gas and water, they're in the house. It's afternoon. You got a question? Or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. It's your money. Indy Park's coming up in the second hour. It's afternoons with Amos after these. Next week, among our guests, Monday, State Representative Scott Piloff. He is the new leader of Democrats in the State House of Representatives. His first interview on the program, we will talk with him live on Monday. On Tuesday, 21st Century Scholars will be in the house. You got a high school student?
I do.
Yeah, they'll be here because there's a lot of confusion as to how 21st Century Scholars works. It's been changing. They've reduced some of the offices. There's lots of confusion, so I think Joelle's going to be, customer servicing and one ear and listening in the other ear to 21st Century Scholars. They'll be here on Tuesday. On Wednesday, BMV, the motor vehicle people, the license branch folks, they'll be here live. And then Thursday, a week from today, in our second hour, live in studio, everybody in the country is talking about her. Jeb Bush is talking about her. Mitch Daniels is talking about her. Everybody's talking about her. They tell me the Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, is talking about it. They're talking about Glenda Ritz. She'll be here live, the Superintendent of Public Instruction elect, a week from today. Oh, that'll be fun. All that and more on the big program. Let's go back to the phones. And Joanne, hi there.
Yes, I have a bill. Last month, it was $264. Mm-hmm. I was only able to pay $200, and I carried the $64 over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my next bill is a total of $330. And the question is, I was on the gas budget for $97. The water and sewer bill was a total of $77.
Mm-hmm.
And I added the $64 that I owed. And I come up with $238, but they sent me a bill for $330. And I don't know if they've taken me off the budget or what's going on. And it's hard to get through those lines, so.
Did the bill that you got that says $330, what amount did it show for gas?
Okay. Just a minute.
Because if it shows more than your budget amount, that's the answer to the question.
Okay. It's just got, okay, the last bill.
Yeah.
It's got the previous, I'm reading above, it's got the previous bill was $64.83. That's what I owed. Then it's got budget charges billed $85.
Was that your budget amount the previous month, $85?
No, it should have been 97.
So wait a minute. Your budget amount before was 97, correct?
It had been $97 on up until this change came about.
And so now it's saying 85?
Yes, it's got the current budget charges billed was 85.
Okay.
It's got non-budget charges $180. So that's where this total is coming from of $330.62. The $64 that I owed, the budget of $85, and then a non-budget amount of $180.79.
All right, let me ask this: if the customer paid $264, all but $64, which would have included the amount of the budget, would that have kicked her off the budget, Randy or Joelle?
Amos, it doesn't look if the bill indicates $85 on the budget, it looks like the account is still on budget. I mean, I'm just assuming based mm-hmm. upon what she's indicating. But like what Joel mentioned before, if we can get her contact information, okay. then we can go through a detailed explanation with her.
All right. So I tell you what, make sure I'm losing track.
Joanne,
hold on, and Chris is going to get your information, okay?
Okay, thank you very
much. All right, while Chris is talking to Joanne, we get to talk to Larry at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, Amos.
Yes, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey,
What's up?
I'm joining the program late, so you may have covered this before, but I'd like to know, can either one of your folks there expound on the relationship between how the relationship between Citizens Energy Group and Violia Water works now? And number two, can anybody explain in fact how much money we're going to need to deal with for the upgrades on the sewer system? Because it seems like we spent money on the sewer system way back to the time of Goldsmith getting in the mix with it. So I'd like to know if they can explain any of that for me, please.
That's a great question.
All
right, Dan Cons and I, what's y'all's relationship with the Veolia Waterworks, which is cleaning up the water?
Our relationship with Veolia, we don't have a relationship with Veolia anymore.
Okay.
We Veolia exited.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone. They're, mm-hmm. That contract ended when we took over last August. Now, virtually all the employees who were with Veolia Water
mm-hmm.
are now Citizens employees.
Okay.
So there was a great transition there. The caller said something about the sewer system. That's a great point. there have been a lot of investments over the years in the sewer system in recent years, but historically, the sewer system here in Indianapolis has been significantly underinvested in. Mm-hmm. And as a result, within the old city limits of Indianapolis, we have what's called a combined sewer system, which means sewage and stormwater are going into
the same pipe. Mm-hmm.
When it rains as little as a quarter of an inch here in Indianapolis, that combined sewer system overflows into the White River, into Pogue's Run, into Fall Creek. Back in 2006, the city of Indianapolis entered into what's called a consent decree.
With the federal government.
With the federal government. And what that is an agreement. Mm-hmm. And what that agreement says is the federal government is prescribing or telling us, the city of Indianapolis, you have to clean up this combined sewer overflow problem. And we have the city of Indianapolis design solutions to that.
Right.
The primary solution is the construction of what's called the Indianapolis Tunnel System.
This big, huge tunnel thing.
Correct. It's going to be a series of tunnels, mm-hmm. 18 feet in diameter, 25 miles of tunnels that will be 250 feet beneath the city. The first segment of that tunnel construction began in May. Mm-hmm. And is continuing as we speak.
And when people see the part of their water bill that says sewer, that's what's helping to pay for that.
That's correct. That's correct. And what's going to happen, the city has been very upfront about this, as has Citizens. We're going to see sewer rates going up every year for the next 13 years mm-hmm. to pay for that system. It's a very expensive investment, about between $1.7 to $1.9 billion.
Have any of those rates gone up this year or in the last few months?
The last 2 years, there's been a 10.75% increase in sewer rates in each of the past 2 years. There's going to be another 10.75% increase on January 1 of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Most of that increase goes to pay for this new tunnel system and some other related infrastructure. What the tunnel system does is it's essentially a large storage container.
Right.
So when it rains, rather than that combined sewer system overflowing into the river,
it overflows in this big pipe
into the tunnel system.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, as this tunnel system is completed, right now, Indianapolis is discharging on an annual basis, I think, around 5 billion gallons of untreated
water,
what we call effluent, which is a mixture of sewage and stormwater.
Into the White River.
Into the White River and other area streams. As this system is completed by the year 2025, so what, 13 years from now,
right.
when that system is complete, the level of discharges will be cut about 97%.
Mm.
So there'll be very small amount going into our rivers and streams. And again, this isn't a choice. This agreement, this consent decree.
Uncle said, y'all do this or else.
It's a mandate. If mm-hmm. we don't do it, we pay millions of dollars in fines every year. So we have no choice.
All right. Good question. Appreciate it. Let me go back to the phones. And Charles at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing? I just got a question on the sewer thing again.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the base charge and the volume charge?
Great question. Okay, Randy, what's the difference between base and volume?
Well, the base charge is for...
Joel.
Sorry. The volume charge is based on how much usage that you have that's registering on your water meter. So
the water that's coming from the water pipe into your house and being used for all kinds of stuff.
The base charge is what we refer to as a debt service charge, and those are the funds that we collect that go back to these such projects.
Mm-hmm.
And we just treat it as a base charge. And that, too, is also based on the size of meter that is at your property.
So the base charge is if you use no water, there's still a base charge.
There is, on the sewer portion of the account, there is a what we call a minimum bill. So anybody that uses between 0 and 4 units per month will get a minimum charge of $20.68.
Okay. All right. Answer that question. Great question, Charles. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a my question pertains to the sewers.
Yeah.
I look after several seniors in the areas where the sewers are going. They brought water through there first a few years back, and several people financed the water hookup. They're offering assistance for the sewers, but there's a maximum on your income. So some of the seniors are having to pay the $2,700 to Citizens, and then another $2,000 or $3,000 to the contractor that hooks them up. Why is there a income maximum on there when there wasn't on the water? Seems like to me would be that's hurting a lot of people.
Yeah, I can address the first part. Maybe Joelle can address the second. What the caller's talking about here is the septic tank elimination program. There's areas of the city where we have failing septic systems that are creating sewage in ditches, and that's also getting to area rivers and streams. So what we've been doing is extending the sewer system to these unserved areas of the city. And the caller is right. There's two primary charges. There's the connection fee that's paid to Citizens, and I think it's
$2,530.
Yeah, $2,530.
That's to connect to city sewer.
That's correct.
The new city sewer that's brought into a neighborhood.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And then the homeowner then has the responsibility to hire a licensed contractor to build what's called the sewer lateral, which is the pipe that connects from the new sewer main in the easement or in the street to
the house.
To the house. And on average, that costs around $2,500 per home. It can cost more or less depending on how far the house is from the main.
It sounds like the caller, though, is talking about some kind of subsidy based on income. Is that percent of poverty?
There's a maximum. I think it's 40. Do you know, Joelle?
I think it's 41,000.
Yeah, it's around 41,000. And what we do is we have a payment plan. They can pay, I think it's $50 a month.
Right, for a six-year period.
Right. And so that's a... And maybe you can.
But the maximum is based upon the household earning up to 41?
Correct.
What happens if you make more than 41,000?
Then you don't qualify for the assistance.
Okay.
But again, you know, we're always willing to be flexible and work with the customer.
Anonymous, are you talking about if the assistance goes to folks up to 41, that should cover senior citizens for the most part?
No, there are some seniors that it may cover them, but happen to put out. You're talking $5,000 or $6,000, whereas they would be able to finance that regardless of their income. They would be in a better position.
Yeah, and one thing to be clear on, the financing that or the payment plan that we offer to customers who qualify is only on that $2,500 connection fee. It's not on the cost of hiring the contractor. If they need financing for that, they'll have to go to a bank or a lending institution to get that financing. So the caller is correct, and we do all we can to work with low-income people. And one thing I left out, on the septic tank elimination program, the areas of the city are identified by the Marion County Health Department. So the Marion County Health Department goes out and studies areas to determine where a high number of septic systems are failing. They then tell citizens, you need to extend sewers into this particular area of the city. And so we're not actively making that choice. The health department is telling us, you need to extend the sewer system. And the customers, when the sewer comes to their neighborhood through this program, they're required by the law, by county ordinance, to connect to the sewer. So we're just – citizens is just enforcing the law.
All right, let me go to Vanita right quick. Thank you, Anonymous, at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. Hi, and hello to your guests. My question is almost what the last caller was talking about I was going to actually ask, since, you know, how the rich get tax breaks and that type of thing, I'm wondering, do they charge you by what area you live in? Because you are – in poverty or low income, do they charge you more? And my second question is, are you getting two gas, because we received two gas bills in the mail. First one was telling you about your budget that you pay every month, and the second one said, like, the budget here is like 107, but the second bill said 192. So is all of that included, or... how is that?
You know,
I don't really understand. It doesn't really say anything about the water bill.
You know, Vanita, one of the things when I look at my bill, I get confused because there's one set of amounts that kind of tells me what I paid, what I last paid. This is what you had in the last bill. Then you gave us a payment. Thank you very much. Now this is your balance. Then there's another section that tells me, well, if you weren't on the budget plan, Mr. Brown, this is what you'd owe or not owe, and now you're in the negative. Then there's another part of the bill over, I think, on the right-hand side that says, this is what you really owe. And then when I go to the computer says, oh, yeah, pay this. And it does look a little confusing to folks because they're seeing a number of amounts. If you're on the budget, you still show the real amount of what it would really be if you weren't on the budget and totaling it up. And it took me on the first combined bill, I think it took me about 35 minutes to get the numbers to interlock correctly. And I was using the spreadsheet on the computer. I was using my phone. I was using ordinary pen and paper. Are you all getting feedback or retesting what these bills actually look like? And maybe, you know, get a paper bill that looks maybe a little bit more simpler, put in real big letters. This is what y'all pay. Send me, you know. Because it really does seem confusing.
Absolutely. And we've been getting a lot of feedback from our customers over the last two months. And we will take those suggestions and go back and look to see if, you know, is the placement of the information the right place where it needs to be. So right now we're still in knee deep in the calls and getting everybody on board. But what we can do is have somebody contact Vanita and walk her through it.
All right.
It.
So Vanita, hold on. And if you'd give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day.
She also, in the first part of her question, asked about how the STEP program is paid for and...
Well, I think it was more Vanita, this was more the regular charges. You were asking, do they charge more for gas in Geist Reservoir and less in Unwa?
Exactly. That's my question.
No, we don't. We don't.
No.
No. Absolutely not.
It's the same charge.
So the rate charge is the same. It's based on how much is coming through the meter.
That's correct.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Good point.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a break. 239-1310. 239-1310 is half the news. Name is, it's intense. We're having fun. Tomorrow. Oh, my goodness. Census Bureau released data today, broken down by zip code, which is all these little marketing units and everything that deals with your insurance rates and will somebody invest in your neighborhood and what have you. We'll have income and all kinds of good stuff. Oh, but let me share you this. Would you like to know one of the areas of town where African Americans have the highest median household income? Are y'all ready for this? How about whatever black folks live in Fortville? Median black household income in Fortville, zip code 46040, $174,191. That's the median. Must be a Colt or a Pacer live out there that's throwing that median off. Is that where Reggie Wayne lives out in Fortville? Is that what threw it off? That's a lot. That ain't Carmel. That's not Zionsville. Fortville. I don't even know where. I got to find out where that is. That may have to do a show to find the black folks with lots of money in Fortville. It's after news with Amos after these. Somebody said they think they know the black folks in Fortville that are generating that median black household income of $175,000. Yeah, they think they know them. Got person email. I'm not going to blow their whole card. 239-1310. 239-1310, the folks from Citizens Energy in the house. Back to the phones in DJ. Hi there.
Hey, what's up, Ames?
Not much. What's up?
Hey, man, you know, these are the same two people that was in the office a couple months ago.
No, go ahead. Wait, say again?
Was these the same two people that was in here 3 months ago when we had them in there?
These are some of the same people, yep.
Right. Okay, so that was about 3 months ago, right?
Yep.
Okay, so we got about 3 years and 9 months, so when our bill's supposed to go down. So they said it was going to take about 4 years. I'm just trying to keep track. Anyway, my question is this, because, you know, our bill's supposed to go down after they get their money back. So I'm going to keep track of that. But I got about 10 people at work where their bill has increased at least $17 to $20 a month. Is this a hidden fee? Combine the bills together.
When you say, do they know, did they track which parts? Is the gas part, the water part, or the sewer part?
Well, we're unsure. I mean, we just, you know, just talking out loud, and we were just saying, you know, that our bills didn't went up $20, between $17 and $20 because they combined the bill. So we figure, I mean, I'm figuring they're trying to hide something.
Basically, what we found with the conversion to one combined bill was that we have our water customers and our sewer customers, we had to put them on the same reading routes as our gas customers so that we're able to read both of the meters at the same time. So, and in doing that, some of our customers had a very long billing cycle for that first bill. For example, we may have had a customer that was billed at the end of August, didn't get a bill in September, and then got a bill sometime in October. So their bill appeared to be a lot larger. That was just a one-time change because of the route redesign that we had to do. This month they should be back to normal and should see their consumption and usage and charges come back to normal.
Could there have been some different things where the water side of the bill was estimated and they were underestimating? Because they were underestimating the bills, and all of a sudden now they're getting reality?
It's possible. Our goal was to read every single water meter for the month of September, and we accomplished that to the best of our ability. There are exceptions to that. For instance, no access to the meter, or there could have been an issue with the reading. But I would say probably 98% of our water meters were read in September. So I'm not going to say that it wouldn't happen, but, I mean, it's possible.
All right. I appreciate it, DJ. Let me go 239-1310. Let me go to Reverend Phillips right quick. Hi there.
Hello, Amos Brown.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
I'll get to hear from you.
Yeah.
I got a comment about that elder woman. She said she called in and she had a budget.
Yeah.
And she said that her bill was 94.
Something like that, yep.
On the summer island.
Right.
Okay. And then she said that her bill was like 84.
Okay. What's the point?
Okay, what I'm saying, when she called in and made that comment, well, her bill was that amount the first time. Well, she must have got credit. Yeah, she probably had credit on her bill.
All right, that's possible.
Know, she was on budget.
Right.
And she probably was paying the budget amount.
All right, good point. You made a point. Let me go to T at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you today?
I'm fine. What's up?
I have a question about my water bill.
Yeah.
Now, my water bill, my sewer bill is just as high as the water charges. And I just wonder, or some people charge more than others for the sewer, on the sewer charges?
You know, I thought the sewer part of the bill is supposed to be the exact amount as the water part of the bill. Is that correct? Or
It's based on the water usage, the amount of water that a customer uses. However, the rates, once you calculate them, are very, very similar. They are different.
Mm-hmm. So the water charges and the sewer charges are about the same. Same price, is that
right? The more water you use, the less it costs the consumer. The more sewer you use, the more that it costs the consumer. So when you reach a certain threshold, the bills tend to look about the same, but the actual rates are different. And the rates are different for all consumers. It's not so the entire population, for example, all residential customers have the same rates, and industrial customers all have the same rates.
Because I'm paying like $75 for water charges, and about the same, a few cents difference for the sewer charge.
And if you'd like, we can have somebody reach out to you and take a look. Maybe they can provide you some water conservation tips to help bring those charges down for you.
Okay.
All right. So, Ms. T, hold on and give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, okay?
Okay.
All right. That'll allow me to talk to Ms. Ruth at 239-1310. Hi there. Ms. Ruth?
Yes.
You're on the air. What's up?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm looking at my current bill, okay? I have been on the budget program for a number of years, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, my budget program stated that my gas bill would be $64, okay?
All right.
Now, I understand the adjustment period. In November, when I paid my November bill, I paid that adjustment. It was a little higher, but now I'm back on what they say is my budget amount.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at my bill here, and it says current charges, okay? Gas bill, $78.09, okay? Where did my budget of $64 go? Because if I add that with the tax, the water, sales tax, the sewer tax, it comes up to $120.13, which does not reflect the $64 for my budget.
When you look at the right side of the bill, what does it say you owe? I think it's on the right side.
Okay, the first part under the account summary?
No, are you just on gas, or is this a gas and a water bill?
Gas and water.
Gas and water. So you are on budget 60. Does your current bill, the new bill you just got, also say $64 budget?
Nope.
It doesn't?
Nope.
Did you pay last month on time?
On time. Never been late.
If you paid, but then they adjusted your budget, correct?
The only thing that was adjusted was adding the water to this bill.
So when they say budget 64, that's the same 64 it's been?
Well, that's just it. The 64 doesn't exist on here anymore.
Ah, what is it now?
It's 7809.
7809 didn't even sound like a budget amount, because a budget amount is a nice, round, even
that's
number.
Right. Typically an even number.
But it also could be she's looking at that middle part of the bill that shows if you didn't pay the budget, this is what you would have paid.
Right.
If you weren't on the budget. So I tell you what, I want you to do, Ms. Ruth. Ms. Ruth, I want you to hold on, and I want you to give Chris, off the air, the gentleman that you talked to when you called me, give him your name and a number where you can reach during the day. They'll get back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, so hold on while you do that. Allow me to talk to Stella at 239-1310. Hi, Stella.
Hi. I have a quick question.
Uh-huh.
I get this advertisement that comes to our home that says that if the water line breaks between your house and the hookup, you're responsible for it.
Right.
I'm thinking that part of my water bill, excuse me, would cover the maintenance. Can they explain that?
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. It works differently under state statute on the different utilities. On the gas side, and we don't set these rules, the state does. On the gas side, we own everything outside the home, and we maintain it. So the gas main in the street, the service line from the gas main to your gas meter and the gas meter, we own and maintain all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything inside the home is customer's responsibility. On the water side, it's different, the water and sewer. We maintain and pay for the mains, mm-hmm, in the street.
Right.
The customer is responsible for the pipes from the both on water and sewer from the mains to the home.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's been the practice here in Indiana. It's the practice in most states. That's established under state law, and we don't establish that. So the rule, the caller's correct. The rules are different.
For gas.
That line protection program is an option. Customers don't have to sign up for that. We offer, you know, we offer that to customers because, you know, there can be problems in lines, and it can be expensive to fix those lines, both inside your home and outside your home. And that line protection program acts as an insurance policy to, you know, to pay for those. But it does not apply to gas lines outside your home. It applies to all the lines inside your home and to water and sewer lines outside your home.
All right. Good point. Appreciate it, Stella. Let me go to Tiandra. Hi there. Tiandra, I need you to turn your radio down so I don't hear myself talk and say myself after I say myself 10 seconds later.
Okay. I was calling because I had a question about the gas bill.
Mm-hmm.
And back in August, I believe I got my gas cut on. But when I moved in my apartment, I could smell gas. So I had called them out to fix it, but I wasn't currently standing there. So when they came out, I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So they just shut it off for like 2 weeks. And then after that, probably a week later, I was there, and they came in and fixed it, and it was a gas leak. So, well, when I got my gas bill was like $47-something dollars. And, you know, I called them. I said, well, I had 2 weeks. It was cut off. And then I had this gas leak that even then I wasn't at the home, and I had my gas off. So I couldn't understand why was my gas bill so high.
Wait a minute. You said it was $47?
Yes.
For how many days?
Maybe like 3 weeks, maybe.
If you had 3 weeks and this was when the leak was and there was nobody living in the house?
Right. No one. I was not living there.
All right. How would somebody have a $47 gas bill? Would that have been some of the transportation charges, even if they didn't use a lot of gas?
Probably.
Not for the $47.
Probably not. I mean, the first thing I'd address is how we manage leaks.
Yeah.
If we come out to your home and we find a leak outside your home, like in the meter or in the service line,
right.
That's our responsibility. We pay for that. Once the gas goes through the meter, into the home, that's the homeowner's responsibility. So if there's a leak inside the home, again, the first thing you should do is get out of the home.
Right, I was not inside the home.
The gas company, what will happen is if they come to a home, a customer reports a leak or a problem with their furnace or some other gas appliance. If we come to the home and we find a leak or find that an appliance is unsafe to operate, what will happen is they will shut that appliance off and put a red tag on it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll then be the responsibility of the homeowner to go get a licensed contractor to fix it. Citizens does not fix appliances, furnaces, inside.
You know, you said this was an apartment. Who fixed the leak?
The maintenance man did because the gas man, he went straight out and went to the office and got the man.
All
and
right.
when he came back, he checked it in front of the maintenance guy. He told him exactly where it was. The maintenance man thought it was the hose. But he had that little inspection thing, and he told me exactly where it was and where it was at. And he was it was coming from the stove, but it was a hole in it. He just thought it was the valve and just probably just needed a bolt or a screw. But the gas man told him that it wasn't.
It sounds like maybe why don't you, Tiandra, hold on and give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day. They may go back and research that and see. Because 47, that's a weird amount anyway, a very low amount.
Before it been off cut off, it was cut off for like 2 whole weeks, and then the gas leak, and then, you know, when I called them, they did say, you know, because like, I thought they was going to maybe, you know, change the difference since I had that leak, and then it was off for 2 weeks. But he told me the same thing, like, no, we don't, I mean, I guess the gas was useless, but I still didn't think that was fair because I was like, how did I know it was a leak? But I guess at least maybe the apartments should have covered it, or they should have billed them or something, because I wasn't even living there. I mean, I was paying rent, but, you know, I just couldn't understand that.
All right, good point. 239-13, hold on, 239-13-10, 239-13-10. It's Afternoons Names. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with our remaining moments with the folks from Citizens Gas. They're having so much fun. Also, this just in, I don't know, why is this news? It would have been news if Rick Hite wasn't named the permanent chief of police of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. I mean, everybody knew he was going to be the chief. It would have been news if he wasn't named chief. So I don't know why it's news that they took interim off his name. He's now the chief of police, second African-American to be chief of the Indianapolis Police Department. Congratulations to him. Also, congratulations to Candace Ewing. She is the assistant principal over at Snacks Crossing Elementary School in Pike Township. They had a big assembly at Snacks Crossing today, and Candace thought it was an assembly about bullying, anti-bullying. Come to find out, a person from the Milken Educator Fund, part of the Milken Family Foundation, stood up and said, Candace Ewing, you're a 2012 Milken Educator. And you know what you get? $25,000 cash to spend however you like as a Milken Educator, one of 40 educators, teachers, and administrators across the country that the Milken Family Foundation's honor for outstanding excellence. She's the only one in Indiana who has been a Milken Educator this year. Sister! Oh, did I mention that Candace Ewing is a woman of color? Proud African-American sister. Got 25 G's for being an outstanding Milken Educator. All right, this afternoon's with Amos after these. All right, David has our last question with the folks from Citizens Energy Group. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Fine.
Got a question for you guys. Mm-hmm. You probably might have went over because I got on the end of the show, but still need to know. Can you explain this destination charge and how do you calculate?
I've been waiting for the destination charge. What's the destination charge? Does the gas have to get on Megabus? Is that what the deal is? What's the destination charge?
Yeah, I think you mentioned distribution charges.
Distribution charge.
Yeah, basically that's just the charge that getting gas from one location to the house, and part of the a facility charge. There's a facility charge as well, and basically it's the trucks paying for the trucks, paying for the pipe in the ground, and everything there wrapped up into that facility charge piece.
Okay, you explained that. But if you're not using any gas, why are you paying for a destination charge?
Yeah, let me address that because we get that question a lot. Think of it this way, the way I usually explain it. Take the telephone company as a example. If you have what's called a house line, a line into your home, not a cell phone, and you are away for a month, and you don't use your phone at all, you're still going to get a phone bill. And that phone bill is going to be for the basic service to bring to your home, because the phone company has to pay people to, you know, maintain their call center, maintain the telephone lines, you know, pay their employees. It's the same thing here. We have gas lines in the ground. There's a cost for maintaining those gas lines, for replacing those gas lines so they're safe, for paying our meter readers, for paying our customer service people. So even if you use very little gas, so say in the middle of summer, for example, a lot of customers notice that the distribution charge is virtually all of their bill because they're using hardly any gas. Well, the cost of maintaining those lines and paying those employees is a year-round cost. So that's what you're paying for. You're paying for the infrastructure and the employees to provide that service. And the gas use charge is the amount that's charged for the actual gas that you use inside your home. And that cost is a straight pass-through. So if you use a certain amount of gas that costs this amount, we go out and we acquire that gas and you're charged that exact amount.
One final thing. I appreciate it. Great question, David. This just popped in my box. You timed this real well. Dan Considine and Citizens Energy, because you already got the chilled water, you got regular water, you got regular gas. Now you're getting ready to take natural gas and freeze it or make it liquid.
Yeah.
And that fuels liquid natural gas vehicles,
right? What,
buses and stuff?
Yeah, what that is – we do actually have two facilities here in Marion County called liquefied natural gas facilities. And what those have been used for over the years is we take gas and we freeze it and we store it in these large tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only used on the coldest days of the year.
Okay.
So there, on a very, very cold day, the pipelines that bring gas to us from the southern United States and the western United States, there's only so much capacity. And on some days, it's so cold, the pipelines can't bring us enough gas. So we have this stored liquefied natural gas that we can draw on. What was announced today is we're now going to be able to use some of that gas, that liquefied natural gas, and sell it to the transportation market. So large, for example, large over-the-road trucks can use liquefied natural gas. And that gas is much cheaper than diesel fuel. It's about 40% cheaper than diesel fuel.
Liquid natural gas, cheaper than diesel fuel.
Liquefied natural gas. And again, it's not for cars. It'll be mostly for large over-the-road trucks. We'll also be able to transport it, for example, up to the Great Lakes and sell it to large ships.
And so this keeps us from buying that foreign oil.
Correct.
Tell the Arabs, keep your oil to yourself. That's a good thing.
It is.
So now people got concerns on the bill. The customer service line, what time does it open up in the morning so they can get ready at the morning? Don't wait till 12 noon. Call when y'all get there. What time does it start?
That's right. We the contact center is open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
So at the crack of 7 a.m., get on the phone. And at the crack of 9 a.m. on Saturday.
And the number is 924-3311.
924-3311, 924-3311. Be careful with space heaters. Make sure that the smoke detectors are working. From Citizens Energy, Dan Considine, Joel Gallagher, and Randy Rollins. If you miss some of this, by tomorrow, it'll be on our website, praiseindy.com, which will answer one of the questions of, how come y'all didn't tell me about it? We're going to educate the folks. Thanks, guys. Thanks very much.